This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis riding out again on Old Dan, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. I'm happy to be back with you folks at this time. For the last 3 or 4 months, we've been bringing you studies on the second coming or immediate coming of our Lord. And we're finishing up that study, and we come down to a section that we're looking at now, looking about our Father's home, our house, our Father's house. We talked about how the Lord met with his disciples there and instituted the Lord's Supper, and then told them, in my Father's house are many mansions. We just started that yesterday. It's a little, maybe a little nostalgic for you if you want to talk about it. But I tell you one thing, my friend. If you know the Lord, you've been born again, in my Father's house are many mansions. And we come toward the evening time of life like the old trailblazer. The world loses more and more of its attraction. Our steps begin to lag just a little, mine a whole lot. The sun is past its zenith. The shadows are lengthening. And we anticipate the twilight and the evening star. And oh, thank the Lord, there'll be no morning at the bar when we pass out to sea. Oh, listen, I'm going home someday. Are you? In my Father's house are many mansions, the Lord says. And I'm waiting. Listen, I'm waiting for his coming. In view of these facts, I have sat down with the Bible, which is composed of mostly of love letters from the Lord, dictated by the Holy Spirit, and I've tried to find out everything I could about my Father's house. Christ said here in John, in my Father's house are many mansions, or little dwelling places. As I turn through the love letters of my Father, I find Isaiah 65:17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Then he says in Isaiah 66, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me. I like that expression, don't you? New heaven, new earth. Oh, Satan sure has messed up this earth of ours, hadn't he? With depraved man. You know, when Satan fell under the judgment of God, this earth was his throne, and also came under judgment and was hurled into a cataclysmic chaos, and God restored it. And Satan and man have tried their best to take it away from the Lord and rule over it after their own selfish will, and what a mess they've made. Everywhere you turn today, my friend, everywhere you turn today, it's a mess. In our political realm, it's a mess. In our economic things, it's a mess. In our educational world, it's a mess. Wherever, it's a mess, my friend. Our homes are wrecked and ruined because of Satan and his influence over our people. Marriages are on the downslide, or on the toboggan slide to hell, I've often heard. And the marriages now only last 4 or 5 years. There's no love there, my friend. This world is full of lust instead of love, L-U-S-T. But, my friend, the Lord knows all about those things. And listen, let me go on. Every born-again believer sings in his heart, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I like that old song, don't you? Regardless of how much he may hold title to, he holds it in trust as a steward, knowing that one day he'll lay it down and go home to be with the Lord. That's the day the Lord comes. Under Holy Spirit conviction, the born-again believer comes to see that this earth and all that it has in it is under the judgment and the curse. We saw in the study where that curse is removed. And in one day, it will all pass away. It'll all pass away, my friend, one day into hell. Abraham saw that, and it was said that he was a pilgrim here traveling through this world, looking for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God, eternal in the heaven. In other words, he was traveling toward his Father's home. Do you know one thing, my friend? Our Father is not going to rest until he gets all of his children home. He'll get them home someday without the loss of one. Won't that be a blessing, my friend? Won't that be a blessing? Oh, that the Lord, to know. Now, would you just stop and meditate with me? That our Lord, if you know the Lord, if you're one of God's children, many of you have written me and told me that you are, and that you long to go home to be with the Lord. And my friend, that's a reality. It's not just a little cliche. And I know the world we're living in most people think that everybody's saved and all of those things. I read the obituary columns here in our newspaper, and everybody, almost to a T, everybody has gone on to be with Mama, gone on to see Papa, gone on to all of those things. And one man had an obituary wrote and said that he was going to help St. Peter open and close the pearly gates. About the most ignorant, asinine thing I'd ever read in the newspaper. But, my friend, that's just the way the world is. One day, the Apostle John, that beloved disciple who laid his head on the bosom of the Lord, that disciple who walked very near to his master, who had been exiled from preaching the word and is witnessing that Christ was his Savior, he was out there on the Isle of Patmos in the Aegean Sea. It was the year 96 A.D. Personally, I think it was in the spring of the year. The Bible says it was on the first day of the week, or Sunday morning. The sun was rising across the eastern skies. The old aged John, with his hair now white as snow, having fought many a battle, and bearing on his body the brands, the marks of the Lord Jesus, was sitting there with seven messengers from the churches of Asia. They were feasting upon the Lord Jesus Christ, telling what he meant to them. They had been talking about his death, burial, and resurrection, his ascension, and coming again. This group, my friend, listen now, they were feasting upon the Lord, and they had been talking about his death. This group, which had been driven from pillar to post under the lash of the Roman persecution, were rejoicing that they were able to suffer for the Lord. It was there that morning that the Holy Spirit transported old Apostle John to the closing days of this age, my friend, listen, and showed him the coming of the Lord and the tribulation period, how Satan would be bound and cast into the pit for 1,000 years. He also showed him the glorious 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth. John saw every implement of the war scrapped. He saw the old earth blossom, bloom like a rose. He saw the Lord Jesus reigning in the glorious splendor as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here in person on this very earth that you and I walk around on, he saw the greatest revival this old earth will ever know under the personal reign of the Lord. Then he saw this glorious age come to a close when Satan shall be loosed out of the pit for a little season. He saw the final failure of man when God sent fire from heaven and destroys every rebel before the camp of the saints. He saw Satan cast into the lake of fire with the Antichrist and the false prophet. As he sat there, old John, the old white-haired gentleman, he saw this old earth pass away, the dead, small and great, stand before God. The wicked dead, those who had rejected the Lord. He saw the great white throne come into display, and every Christ rejecter received the just recompense of his reward. He heard the last goodbyes and those awful words, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." My friend, I often tell you here on this broadcast, those are the most terrible words, heart-searching words that ever were uttered. Because I know that great white throne, there'll be a judgment set there, and the books will be open, and the book of life will be open, and the Lord will judge from that white throne, and your name will be called if you're not saved. Your pastor's name will be called if he's not saved. Every name will be called, and when he calls your name, the Lord will say, "Mr. Recording Angel, is his name there or her name there?" And he will look in the book of life and say, no, my Lord, not there. He'll say, "Look again, I believe. We don't want to make a mistake here." He said, "No, it's not there." And that individual stand before the Lord, trembling, I would imagine, not able to say one word. It's too late now. But my friend, let me tell you this morning, it's not too late now to turn to the Lord. Would you just, in a quiet time, fall at the Lord's feet and say, "Lord, what a sinner I am. I see myself as such a sinner. Lord, I don't deserve even a drop of mercy, but Lord, if it could be thy will, I've read your word, Lord. It says you're not willing that any should perish. But you also say, except ye repent, Lord, grant me repentance. Grant this poor soul repentance, Lord, that I might come to you and be found there, not there that day at that great white throne judgment. But I could hear those words, enter in, my true and faithful servant. Oh, my friend, what a difference in those words. Depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, but listen, let me say again. And they were cast out of the presence of the Lord. When all that comes to a close, then he shouted, and I saw a new heaven. This is John now. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. His Father's house came into view. Then to emphasize that, he said, and I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, my friend, there's no greater picture than a bride adorned for her husband. I've conducted many, many weddings. I've seen many, many beautiful girls, beautiful young girls, some older girls, some older ladies. I've conducted right there in the store, in the prayer room at the chapel, in the church in New Orleans. Street people come in and say, Pastor, we want to get married. But I'll get my necktie on most of the time and get a group of the workers there at the church. And we'd have a wedding right there in that prayer room, my friend. And as far as I know, they're still holding together. Pastor Shelton told me of a couple that had been in this church for many years, had a house full of children, never had gotten married. And the Lord got a hold to them. And they came and said, Pastor, we want to get married. We want to give these children a name. And he married them right there. My friend, marriage is honorable in the Lord. I love to do that. I tell folks, I'll marry you. They don't have no money. It don't make no difference. I'm not in it for the money. Oh, my friend, but what a gracious time. What a gracious time it would be to young couples to come. And I lay the claims of Christ on their heart. I tell them to look in each other's eyes and say, you're going to wake up 5 years from now and be in love with this pretty girl just like you are right now. Surely they say they are. But the Lord has blessed many marriages that I've performed and maybe one or two that fell apart. I don't know for sure. But, oh, Lord, have mercy upon those individuals. I know we've gotten off our subject, but that's what the Lord does, my friend. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious, and he looks forward. He looks at our folks in love. My friend, the Scripture says he's not wanting anyone to be lost, not willing that any should be lost. Awaken, sinner, you out there hearing me. Is the Lord not willing? He said if you come to him, he'll save you. He said if you'll knock, he'll open the door. He said if you'll confess your sin, he'll grant you favor. My friend, the Lord is able to save. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Every lost sinner can come to the Lord. And my friend, this is the Old Trailblazer Broadcast. I'll be back tomorrow, Friday morning, and me and old Dan be riding down the road, clippity-clop, and bringing you God's message. I hope you'll pray for me. Call me. Let me know you're listening, my friend. My phone number, area code 225-664-8658.